We read from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and these are the people you would have hear it today. I pray for them. Increase their faith by the truth. This, your word, is the truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, it's not uncommon for people to be found dead of hypothermia, almost or completely naked. It's a strange mechanism in your body that when hypothermia starts to set in, I mean, you get cold and you start to shiver and you feel the cold, but when it gets to a certain point, your body starts to automatically pump blood through yourself, and that actually has a warming sensation. Now, when that exhausts itself, this isn't a perfect mechanism, the muscles pumping your blood get tired and they fail, and all of a sudden all this warm blood rushes to your extremities, so people who are freezing to death feel hot. And the most logical thing is to take their clothes off so they'll be found without any clothes on, ultimately bringing about their own demise. The important thing to remember, though, is that even though they perceive to be hot, that doesn't change the reality of the cold. Little do they know in their delusion and the delirium that the hypothermia causes how close death really is. Here's one of the big challenges of evangelism. We Christians are the clear-headed ones in this spiritual blizzard of the world, surrounded by people who are in this late-stage spiritual hypothermia, who don't believe that they're freezing to death, who actually feel that things are going fine, and who might actually feel that they should go in the opposite direction from God. You know, Jesus described the last days in which we live by saying, the love of many will grow cold. People are content that if this life is going well for them, if they seem to get along with their friends, if there's a God, of course he must be happy with them. This is how people were before the flood, assuming that no judgment would come until God shut Noah up in the ark and it started to rain. We are the ones out in the cold, though, with this message and the understanding that we should not judge everyone according to the flesh, but according to how God sees them. Just a few verses earlier, Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's where this is all headed. So the question is, as we Christians seek to share our faith, is how do you convince a hypothermic hiker to come into the warm cabin when he feels hot? How do you perform CPR on someone who feels fine? Right? That doesn't seem like a loving thing to do from the outside. It seems intrusive and even inappropriate. Circumstances seem less urgent to us in evangelism because, according to the flesh, it doesn't seem like we're standing in a spiritual blizzard. It might be a very cozy dinner party. You might be having a meal with a very successful business person who seems to have it all together. You might be talking to someone in a conversation over coffee who has much better and more forceful arguments, it seems, not to believe in Jesus than to believe in him. You know, and there you are with this person freezing to death spiritually, with even better arguments than you have that he should keep his underwear off. He'll be better off that way. So what's the key? The encouragement is to not regard anyone according to the flesh any longer. Our faith inherently has an eternal outlook. Paul even gets at it. If one died for all, then all died, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So we say that all of God's promises are going to come to fruition after we die. Right? That sets us totally out of this world in our outlook for life. But we also say that the beginning of spiritual renewal, the beginning of faith, actually includes a death. That we bring all of our self-sufficiency, all of our pride to the cross, and there it has to die with Jesus so we can be raised and renewed with a new mind that sees the reality, that's been dispelled from this delirium and this delusion that everything's okay just the way it is in the blizzard. So we judge no one according to the flesh. Instead, I would say, we judge them according to Jesus' flesh. Not their flesh and how well they seem to be doing in life, but according to Christ's flesh, which died for all and therefore says all deserve to die. It's not just poetic, that is a verdict. Everyone is guilty, everyone is accountable. But in Jesus' resurrection, there's a promise that through him, sins have been taken away. There is a refuge from this storm. And finally, for those who find this refuge and are brought into God's grace, which is the only thing that matters eternally, the entire creation will someday be warm again. This seemingly eternal winter will have an end. So here are my two encouragements for you. First of all, do not lose your eternal outlook. We have to immerse ourselves in Scripture and the sacraments because it's so tempting to also buy into this delusion, which is itself a sin. If we agree with the world that it is okay according to the flesh, then we have disagreed with God. Maintain that eternal outlook. Paul says that at one time we regarded Christ according to the flesh. Early in Jesus' ministry, Nathanael, who had become one of his disciples, said when he heard about Jesus of Nazareth, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, yeah, the Son of God, the glorified Savior, the ruler of the universe, did. Maintain your eternal outlook. But then we have to think about, in the course of our relationships and our lives, how do we take the person in the blizzard who thinks they're fine and get them to come into the warm cabin? Think about that. If you're in that situation and someone feels no need to come out of the cold that's going to kill them, you might say to yourself, telling them that there's warm in the cabin isn't going to be effective because this person doesn't believe they need warm. They feel hot already. But maybe I could say, come in for a rest. You're tired. Come in for a meal. Come in and play chess for a while. And by coming in for some of those other things, they're actually going to get the thing they need, the warmth that will save them. Well, we have to recognize that unbelievers will never come to Christ for the right reason. Without faith, why would someone come to the church to be forgiven of the sins that they don't even believe they have? And yet our world is hurting for things that this life together based in love really offers and embodies better than anywhere else and anyone else in the world. So do the people out there in the cold, do they need friendship? Yes. Do they need community? Yes. Do they feel in themselves this sense of moral accountability and they want a place that values goodness and justice and truth presented in purer forms? Yes. But our goal is not just to leave them with moralistic teaching or friendship or community, but finally to take these people, frostbitten by the world and ultimately on their own, destined for death, and to point them to the water of baptism and say, here is the real healing. Here is where you're united to Jesus who died for you and rose for you. You who are freezing, come on in, because here the water is fine. Amen.